Well, as you can tell by the fact that our board of elders have joined me here on stage, today's going to be a little bit different day. Today is not necessarily a sermon per se. So if you're a guest with us, I just want to let you know I'm not usually as tied to my podium. We don't normally have the elders up here on stage. It's just our big Vision Sunday. And we have a lot of amazing things to announce. We have a lot of things that I can't wait to share with you. But before we do, I never want to go into anything, sermon or not, without opening up the Word of God. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 20 in there. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one in the pew in front of you. That's our gift to you. You can take it home. You can use it and put it back. Or you can also find it on your electronic device. But it says here, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Keep it on that slide for a second. Now, the preacher in me, there's so much I want to unpack out of this. There's so much I want to talk about. But as you can see, hopefully you can see with that purple highlight on there, there's a few things that are going to reach us more specifically today. First of all, that God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. One version says all that we ask or imagine, which I think is pretty powerful. But it specifically says that's going to be through the church and it's going to be to all generations. Now, as we've been talking about, not just since I got here, but especially as we unpack this Uncharted campaign, we have a vision to transform our city. But not just this city, outwards into the world. Just this morning as we were praying up here, as the band does before service each week, one of our band members said, you know, with what all happened yesterday, we need to pray more than ever. We need that hope more than ever, because the reality is that no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, politics and politicians will never change the hearts of men. It doesn't matter what you feel about education. We can't educate people far enough to change the hearts of what's going on in our nation. It doesn't matter what we try to do. Jesus himself is the only one that can bring that hope. And he says he wants to do abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or imagine. And today we get to share a little glimpse of that. We've talked about it before, but together we are the body and bride of Christ. We are the church. And this meeting, this gathering of us right here, is one cell in a body that spreads across not just the United States of America, but across the globe. When we come together, we are Jesus's hands and feet. And as I've said, and as I've tried to share with each message when I close, we get to go take the hope of Jesus into each of our communities and to each of our worlds. But let me share a little bit more about our recent journey. Well, our story goes all the way back to 1887. I'm not going to focus on that part. You can see our first pastor with that amazing, almost handlebar mustache right there from way back in the early 1900s. But let me talk to you about this more recent season. As Pastor Ed began preparing for his retirement just a few years ago, after 17 years of faithful ministry here at Sloan's, he and the elders agreed that for this church to continue, we were going to need aggressive revitalization. And our elders believed at that time that without bold changes, our church would be looking to close its doors within 3 to 4 or 5 years' time. Now, I don't know if you've done the math on that, but that would be right now, roughly. And we are not ready to close our doors. That's an amazing testament. Because if you look at why they believe this, you see that the facts were added up against us. Up to that point, our attendance had been steadily declining, while the average age of our congregation members continually increased. Around that time, and just shortly after, as we hit that transition, about 7 of the top 10 givers in the church left or passed on. Now, none of them left in an angry fashion. They just happened to move away. But as I've shared with you before, each church is funded, the ministry is funded through the people that God has called to that place to give back from what he has given them to allow the ministry to flow unhindered. And look, money and membership isn't everything by far. It's by far not the most important thing to look at in a church. But let me just tell you, hard, cold statistics say if you lose 7 of your top 10 givers in any church, that is usually a nail in the coffin. Attendance decreasing, young people not coming to the church, it tends to put it in a spot where it's very difficult to pull out of that grave. But your leadership put forward a bold plan of revitalization. And look, just so we're clear, I was by far not the silver bullet in that plan. This path of revitalization was one that Pastor Ed spoke into and the elders adopted, and they said, this is where we need to go. And I was am a part of that. And these changes have been substantial. I don't need to tell many of you that. We've changed more in the last 2 to 3 years than perhaps I even imagined that we would. But yet we've been able to utilize those changes to start to see a new day and a shifting landscape for our church. We've started to see movement. We've changed leadership structure, bylaws, kids ministry, youth ministry, first impressions team. We've painted. We brought in the gathering room space. We even did some changes in the sanctuary here. And can I just say, because I don't say it enough, that I am so blessed to be your pastor. Because let's just be honest, that level of change usually sees a lot of angry emails and people upset. And to date, I have not had a single person send me an angry email. We'll see, maybe it'll happen today. And knowing some of you, you're gonna send me one just to have fun. Just to do it. I shouldn't have said all that. Darn, that really messed up the rest of my day. But thanks to your support, this little underdog of a church is beating the odds. However, as we've discussed before, pulling anything out of the grave and bringing it back to life is difficult. And so in order to see new energy and new life and new hope, we've still needed to make some more bold changes. Several months ago, we hired a company called Generis. They're one of the top, if not the top, organizations in the world that work with churches to establish a bold vision and to fund that vision. Go back a slide. That's coming up in a minute, Riley. And once again, the odds have been against us. You see, when we talk about following Jesus in obedience, we didn't start at zero. We started kind of behind. But a few months ago, we unveiled our 2-year spiritual journey that we called Uncharted. And boy, we had no idea how true that word was going to be to what God wants to do in this place. And thanks to you and thanks to your commitment to see the ministry and the mission of this church move forward so that we can have a transformational impact in the lives of people right around you, we saw about $728,414 committed to fund the next 2 years of ministry in this church. And again, that's amazing. Last summer, I sat before the board of elders and I told them, I said, look, I am committed to this church for the long haul, but if we don't have a change in the giving patterns, I need to take a job elsewhere and be part-time as the pastor. And the elders said, that is not the way things are going to go. And so we started this uncharted journey, and now we're at a spot where, you know, if everybody lives up to the commitment cards that we placed, we will not only be at zero, we will be fully funded for the next 2 years. Programs that help marriages that are struggling, with our divorce care and grief share classes, with our Financial Peace University efforts, and just with what we are doing each and every day through the homeless ministry, through Whiz Kids, and more to see lives changed and futures healed. I just want to say again, as boldly as I can, thank you for that. Would you give yourselves a round of applause? I also want to say that I really and truly believe what God has to say in Ephesians 3:20. When he said he would do abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or imagine, he is not just giving us words to give us a false hope, but that he really means to come through for that. And as I said, that brings us to our more recent season. Now, we started this project called, or this 2-year spiritual journey, and we called it Uncharted. But to be honest, I wanted to call it something else. I wanted to call it All In. Now, not the least of which because there was a wrestling promotion at the time who was leaning into that language. I thought it was real fun. But our board of elders said, Lee, I just don't think that's it. I don't think that's what God has for this season. And so we landed on this word, uncharted. And boy, over the last several months, we have seen uncharted things start to happen. Perhaps you've wondered about what's going on with the front yard project or the flooding that we experienced downstairs. Let me give you some updates on these. But I also want you to remember as I share these updates that it's kind of like this old saying, the shadows prove the sunshine. How many of you have heard that? It's in a Switchfoot song, actually. The shadows prove the sunshine. In other words, we look at where the shadows are hitting in our lives, and it helps us to understand what God has for us even more. Well, a few years ago, we started a project that was then called the Elevator Project, or Elevator Fund. As a church, we wanted to take care of those who are not physically able to go up and down the stairs of our multi-level building. And so we put together a plan. And in that plan, we initially raised about $30,000, but we kept getting curveball after curveball after curveball from city departments and developers, and costs quickly rose to about $50,000 from $30,000. Now, through the Uncharted campaign and specifically through the Emerge grant, I was able to help us raise an additional $20,000 to put towards that project. But by the time we had gotten there, the finish line had moved again. Prices had raised, costs had gone up, and our XYZ, our more seasoned individuals who've been a part of this church for longer than most, met together and said, you know what, I don't think an elevator is the best use of this anymore. And so we moved over to looking at the front yard. And we had a God moment, a God encounter with a company that's working on the children's center right up here on Tennyson. They asked if they could use our parking lot, and I said, sure. They said, how can we help you? I said, let's take a look at my front yard here for a second, see what you can do. And so through that, this company donated about $20,000 in cost towards our front yard project, towards seeing it become a reality by Easter of 2019. How'd that go for us? Once again, as Don joked about in his sermon a few weeks ago, we hit city roadblock after city roadblock. I won't share you all the gory details because I promise you, every time we hit the goal line, it moved. But some of the pieces of that would be that at first the city wanted us to replace every bit of grass that we had that we were going to be removing to put in a driveway somewhere else on our property. But it couldn't be somewhere where foliage of any kind already existed. And so our team, this wonderful construction company we've been working with, came up with a plan to put planter boxes in between where you park. You know, where there's the little things that you bump your tires on for your car and there's a space in between. We were going to have multiple of those so that we could replace the grass. Everything went forward and then the finish line moved. Then they decided we needed to re-landscape our entire facility. And so at least wise the parts out here, but that's the bulk of it. That's just the hiding back here is only it. And so the finish line moved again. And so we started working with a member of our congregation who has great skill in that area and getting things ready and getting them prepared and got back to the finish line once more. And then the finish line moved again. About 3 moves later, where we got to the finish line and got back, Now the city department wants us to have handicap railing that not only runs to where it does at the what would be our drop-off point, but from the parking lot all the way to the front door. And because of price of steel and because they'd have to be custom made, the current estimate for that is $24,000 additional dollars. In the midst of that, remember, the shadows prove the sunshine. And God is doing abundantly above and beyond all that we have asked or imagined. It's just sometimes it doesn't look like what we expect. Because a few months ago, not that long, about 8 weeks, give or take, I got a call while I was at my small group. And our leaders who run the Taekwondo program on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, it's only $30 for an entire family, and it's a wonderful ministry. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Great stuff. Master White gave me a call on the phone. He said, Lee, you need to get here. And so I called George Drott, and George and I came over at 9 o'clock in the evening, only to find the downstairs basement was flooding. We turned off all the water. We brought out a company to come and suction all the water out of the downstairs and thought things were good. But the next morning, after leaving at about 11 o'clock at night, I came back just after 7 in the morning, and the water had covered more of the downstairs than it had before, meaning they suctioned everything out. And it came back twice as strong. Come to find out that we have almost 80-year-old clay pipes that are 18 feet down under the ground going into this building. And one of them had a clog because as clay gets older, it splinters out and it catches things, which caused the pipe to break down the line. And fast forward the story. And if you've seen out in our front yard that little tiny patch of dirt where there's no grass, that represents $14,000 worth of replacing an 8-foot pipe that insurance does not cover. Last Monday, I came into the office, and if you've seen right out here in our lobby and look up, you'll see that a ceiling tile has cratered down in. I actually asked George to leave it that way just so people could see what had happened with it, but I came in and our aging heating and cooling units had backed up. Water and rust had clogged a pipe, and that water filled up a drip tray and went down and flowed into our ceiling. Now, thankfully, we caught that fast enough to where all it did was cause a few tiles to need to be replaced and George to spend about 7 hours in a 110-degree attic, which was his favorite thing to do on a Monday and Tuesday, to get that fixed. And while we were able to do a simple fix on it, it points to an even bigger issue. Our boiler system that we use for heat is holding on by a wing and a prayer. In fact, when it was inspected this past 2-3 months ago, the guy specifically told me, he said, look, this thing's passing for now, but he goes, I don't believe that thing's going to last a year, and in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't make it through tomorrow. Over the last 2 years, our leaders have been compiling a list of estimates of what it's going to take to refurbish, not to move ahead, but just to get to par with our building. I have copies of it here if anybody would like it after we talk through this. But let me just say, before our Uncharted program started, that campaign, we had estimated that it was somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 of repairs. $90,000 on windows, not even counting our stained glass, which is an additional $25,000, and that's just to help them not get worse, not to restore them. But then after the clay pipes burst, we had another estimate done because we have almost 100 feet of clay pipe under this building. 8 feet of it cost us $14,000. And so as safely as we can estimate it through actual quotes, through having people come out, and in some cases, through the best possible guesstimate we can give, we're looking at the fact that to get our building up to par will cost us over $700,000. Now you may be thinking, well, that's okay, that's good news, because through the Uncharted campaign, we raised $728,414, and so that math works. except for the fact that the Uncharted campaign is to cover 2 years of a fully funded ministry, which means through that and through some of the money that was designated through that Emerge grant, we would have in the next 2 years less than $30,000 to put towards building repairs and issues. We wouldn't even be able to do 10%. And so I want to give you the first major announcement today, and I need you to hold it with an excitement, knowing that there's more to come. But our elders and our pastors have come to the difficult decision that this building can no longer be a part of our path forward if we are going to grow, if we are going to do what Jesus is asking us to do. Because we need to invest about $730,000 just to get to par. And that doesn't save a single soul for Jesus. I want to tell you, I thought when those guys were working 18 feet down and there was scaffolding in the hole, I thought about saying, oh, they can't go anywhere. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But outside of something like that happening, that is our reality. But the shadow proves the sunshine, and there is so much more to tell this morning. You see, about 60 years ago, this church had a baby. We gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, and we named her Arvada. Arvada Church of God. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. About 5 years ago, Arvada became convinced, like us, that if they did not go through aggressive revitalization, that their church was not going to make it. So Arvada brought in an outside group to help them through this process. And depending on how you hear the story and who you hear it from, the most basic version of that is their pastor at the time became convinced that he was not going to be able to move that forward. And again, depends on the story, one way or another, he's no longer there. Around this time, a man by the name of Ron Olson, who had been the senior pastor over our South Denver Church of God, had felt a movement of the Spirit to come and just see if he could be of help at all to Arvada, not knowing what was going on. But the unfortunate reality is the church was fragmented, depleted of its resources, and hurting. Ron was appointed as the transitional pastor. He would be there until they found a young, energetic person who could come in and do the hard work of revitalization. But after about a year of finding no progress and no valid leads, the Arvada Church of God decided to call Ron as their part-time, but we all know that really means full-time pastor. Full-time work, part-time pay. And over these last 4 years, Ron has served faithfully as their pastor. And through his bold leadership, there has been some moments of hope and growth. But just like we have said here, pulling an organization of any kind, especially a church, out of the grave is incredibly difficult. And their board of elders and their leadership have come to the conclusion that they will not be making it as a church. Our daughter is not going to make it. But the shadows prove the sunshine. And I want you to know that God wants to do abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or imagine in the church, through the church, and to all generations. Several weeks ago, our board of elders met for a yearly spiritual retreat. Now, I'm used to calling them retreats, right? How many of you have had a retreat with a staff or you've gone on a company retreat? Yeah. Well, he's not sitting here, although he'll be here in 2 weeks. Our state pastor, Steve Rennick, who is a senior pastor out in Indiana, sat me down on the phone and he said, Lee, I got to tell you something. In all my years as a pastor, I never had a retreat. I said, what are you talking about, Steve? He goes, no. We don't retreat. We advance. And I said, okay, I like that. So we had an elders advance several weeks ago. And we began praying through this very verse. And we began praying through our uncharted journey, not realizing exactly what that was. At the end of our time together, we had some time to talk about our daughter, Arvada, and what their future looked like. Long story short, a lot of meetings later, a week ago on Thursday, the elders of our church and the Arvada Church of God join together to share our hearts, to talk about a vision for the future and a vision for our city. And both became captured by the idea that we are better together. I listened as Pastor Ron Olson addressed his elders and their board and expressed his heart and soul to everyone that he believes at this almost finish line for his career, as he is just a couple years away from retiring himself, that he was put at that church specifically for this season of ministry together, that this is what everything was leading towards. And so the second big announcement I want to share with you today is that the elders and pastors of the Sloan's Lake congregation, our Arvada Church of God sister church, and Colorado Ministries of the Church of God believe that we are better together. And together we're formulating a plan that we hope to present sometime in the next 6 weeks or so of what would be called from the outside as a merger or an acquisition. While we still have to put this full plan together for the churches to vote upon, and it's still coming together as we speak, I want to give you at least an outline of what this bold vision looks like. First of all, Sloan's Lake Church and the Arvada Church of God will come together as one unified congregation that shares over 190 years of history, and we will begin a new work of ministry together. We will put both facilities as an option to sell so that we could build a brand new facility debt-free. Now, if that doesn't stir you a little bit, it's because of the shock, and I get that. Believe me, I'm having a lot of these conversations right now. But I want to say that again. Not only do we have a path forward where we don't have to worry about raising 730 some odd thousand dollars just to get to par, but we have a path forward now where we could build a brand new facility, one that would not just be equipped for ministry as it was in 1952, but one that would be equipped for ministry from 2020 and beyond. And through our partnership with Oster, and I have some packets of information for those who want it here, our commitment is to work as hard as we can to do that debt-free. In the first phase of this process, we believe it would look that things would work best together for our church to join the Arvada campus at their facility while this building is being rezoned and sold. From that point on, we would begin looking for a new facility where we would share a history and a new future together. We would move into that facility using the sale from this property, and then we would begin the same process with the Arvada campus, rezoning it and selling it to fund this mission. In this season, our unified congregation would move to the next stage of a revitalization, what some churches call a replant, which means we'll update our mission and vision based on what we have here and what has been God has been laying on our hearts moving forward, but with a new identity, a new season, a new building, a new name, and a new opportunity to reach our community. Let me tell you why I'm so excited about this. Not only because it honors the history of our church, because Arvada and Sloan's almost came together about 15 years ago. And through Pastor Ed's leadership, we almost moved over to that King Supers that's right here in Edgewater. Those are unfulfilled dreams. But we want to move from unfulfilled dreams to above and beyond all that we could ask or imagine. You see, there's a lot that goes into this, but we believe that God has brought us to this exact moment. In fact, as Ron and I had our first conversation towards this, he shared with me a vision that he felt God had given him of a tree stump with a little sprout starting to come up to give new life. And as many of you know, I go through the Bible in a year. I invited you to do that with me last year through the Bible app. That next morning, the devotion that was given to me, it chose me, I didn't choose it, was Isaiah 11:1. And out of the stump will rise a new sprig of life from the seed of Jesse, which would be Jesus, and it will bless the nations. Right after that, Ron and I talked, and he said, my wife and I are praying through Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or imagine. And I said, Ron, did you see that little elder advance packet that I gave you? And he said, oh yeah, I just saw that. That's exactly what we went through. I have one more exciting announcement, but this one would have been made regardless of the other two, and I hope it doesn't get lost in the shuffle here, but we have some staffing updates that are going to happen through this and would have happened before this. First of all, as you know, Don Fletcher, the chairman of our board, is becoming ordained in 2 weeks right here in our facility. He will officially be Reverend Don Fletcher. And so we hope that you will address him as such, right? You know? I've told him I'm going to start calling him the most right Reverend Don Fletcher just to add as many titles as I can and make him feel uncomfortable. Well, because of that, Don is needing to go on staff with a church. And because of some situations he has in his life that he can explain with that, he still feels that the absolute best place for him to be is right here at Sloan's Lake. And so we are going to be bringing, yes, thank you. Let me stand out of the way so the live stream can see your smiling face. Don is going to be coming on as our executive pastor. Most larger churches have an executive pastor. I don't know too many churches of 100 people that have an executive pastor. But again, Don is going to be joining our staff. He's going to be coming on board and he's going to be helping us through this process. I also want to give you an update on someone that you know and love who's come and preached here multiple times. His name is Gabe Hernandez. Gabe, you can clap, yeah. Just clapping for the idea of Gabe. I like that. Gabe is at a point in his ministry where he has some outside funding, but what he has been doing is no longer his path forward. And so through this season, Gabe will come over as our director and soon to be pastor of development as he's going through his own ordination process. Well, community, where he'll be working with us to have better outreach into our community, to have better input about what it looks like to reach people who do not know Jesus, and coming on to our staff there. So now we can clap. Gabe, welcome to staff. Pastor Leonore is also going to see a change in her role. She's stepping to a pastor at large role. So what she's been doing will still kind of happen, but then there's some other things that she wants to pursue in that as well, such as leading a new small group, which starts next week for those who are interested, at Bob and Janie Till's house, such as working some more with the prison ministry, such as working more in our worship space with our worship team. And so she'll see a little bit of a role shift, but you'll see her around and she'll be doing a lot of amazing things as our pastor at large. I want to share with you just a couple pieces of data that help us understand what this moment looks like. First of all, one of the reasons I'm excited about this is with two properties to be able to leverage, we will no longer have to just skate by. Because the reason that the elevator and the front yard project and so many other projects have not gotten off the ground is because every time we get to just enough, something else takes it to, it's going to cost more. But through this, we will be able to work with our partners and see a brand new facility debt-free. We will no longer be living in just barely enough, but living in a space where we can use this to build something brand new. Now, this still means our uncharted commitments stay. This is just the next phase of our uncharted journey. We're still gonna need everybody all in. In fact, this is gonna be an even more exciting season together than before. And we're sharing that season with some strategic partners as well. First and foremost is Dr. Steve Rennick. He is the leader of Colorado Ministries of the Church of God. Riley, go ahead and put that next slide up here with the other faces. He is on our board of elders. He is deeply caring about what happens to our churches in the state. And from what he has shared with me, this will be an example for the other Church of God churches who are also struggling in their own rights to see what it looks like to move boldly forward and bring a new day. We're also going to be partnering with Brad Oster. As I mentioned, I have some of his packets here. His book you can find online, Making Room to Make Disciples. Brad has been planting churches, building churches since 1984. And he has a pastoral background so that he does it in such a way that not only do we get to move forward debt-free, but he also develops a master plan for the ministry that'll help us move forward strategically. We also have partnerships with Emerge. This is the group that gave us that grant that we were able to receive. But it's also a group of some of our largest Church of God pastors who are going to be speaking into this season with us, who are already doing some mentoring work with me and will be doing some mentoring work with our staff and elders as this season moves forward. We continue our partnership with Generis. And just so you know, some of you have seen Rob, but if you're one of our leaders who went through that uncharted process, you've spent some time with him. Rob has led his own churches, about three different ones that were revitalizations, one of which became the largest church in the Church of the Nazarene. But that church also was a part of absorbing two or three other congregations as well. So he has some background and experience there. And then Vibrant Agency, the video that you saw, the new booklets that you see, that's their work. But they also work with church plants to do advertising into the community to help bring more people who need to see the hope that can only be found in Jesus. I want to share just a couple little quotes from these guys as I've talked with them over the last few weeks. First of all, Matt Anderson, he's the lead pastor of McDowell Mountain Church in Phoenix. He says, this is so exciting. This could be a great picture for other churches in our tribe, that being the Church of God, and have incredible kingdom impact in your community. And then Rod Stafford had this to say. He said, I'm beyond excited about the possibilities. These are the kind of moves that can re-energize millions of dollars of kingdom capital and win more people for Jesus. So let me just say, I know that this is kind of a wide-eyed moment. For some of us, this is a little scary. It's a little big. But when God moves in big ways, as we believe he is moving right now, it should be. It should cause us to open our hands more and trust him that God knows what he's doing. And that, as Judy likes to say, things aren't falling apart. They are falling exactly into place. So just because this is a big thing, and just because our eyes are getting a little wide, doesn't mean this is a Godless moment. In fact, it means it's probably a God-full moment, because it's going to require each of us to have even a little more faith and a little more prayer than we've had in this past season. In fact, as we transition back into a time of reflection and worship, I want to bring up the prayer that I have been praying for about the last 2.5 years here. I've prayed, God, I don't want to ask you to bless what I am doing. I want to see where you are blessing, where you are changing lives, where you are moving. And I ask for the faith and the boldness to step into that stream. And so that's the prayer I want to ask for each of us, that you would enter into a season of prayer that is more bold than perhaps it's ever been before. Because we have a God-sized opportunity ahead of us. And over the next 6 weeks, we'll have plenty of chances to have meetings, to have little gatherings where people can ask questions, where we can share together, where we can look over some of the finer details that I've given the 30,000-foot view towards. But regardless of what else, I ask that you would pray in this season. And so as a church body, I want to do something we don't do very often. I would ask that we stand and join hands together. And as the band comes up to pray, I pray that we would, or comes up to sing and lead us in worship, I pray that we would pray together. So would you stand as you're able? Grab the hand of somebody next to you, unless they say, please don't, and no means no, okay? All right. And would you join me in prayer right now? Heavenly Father, God, first and foremost, I want to pray, as I've continued to pray throughout this season, that I would not be so focused on my wants and my needs and my desires that I would ask you to bless what I am doing or the way I think things should go, but but that you would bless. You would show me where you are blessing. And you would give me the faith, the boldness, the commitment to walk with you in that stream. God, we believe as a church that you want to do abundantly above and beyond all that we have asked, all that we have imagined. But God, you're doing it in a way that reclaims a daughter, a church that doesn't have a future, and that gives us a path forward to reclaim lots of kingdom capital that we could spend on plumbing, or we could spend on making a difference in people's lives. God, I pray that as each one of us comes together, our hearts for some of us are in shock. We didn't see this coming, but you did. God, I believe that you didn't cause the frustrations that have led to the different building projects going nowhere, but I believe that you have allowed those projects to not move forward so that we would not be wasting your resources. God, we're so excited for the path that you have for us. Not that it's about a building, not that it's about a location, God, that it's about an opportunity to have a new momentum and a new path forward. God, I also pray for our daughter church, Arvada Church of God. As Pastor Ron Olson, somewhere around right now, is making this very same announcement to his people. But his announcement saying to them that this church, that church, does not have a path forward on its own. But that together, as we become together, we can have a path forward together that's brighter than anything we would have imagined separately. God, as people process this, as we work through this over the next few weeks, would you give us a spirit of prayer that seeks your heart? That's not focused on where we've been, but focused on who you are calling us to reach. And that helps us to see that the visions and the promises that our leaders over the past number of decades have had might actually come true through your provision in this season. God, as we transition to a time of worship, let our hearts be excited. Take away any fear or any doubt that the enemy is placing into our hearts or minds right now. And instead, give us a spirit of peace, knowing that you are going to do abundantly above and beyond all that our leadership, our Arvada's leadership, our state leadership, our past leaders have prayed for, have asked, have dreamed for, or imagined. And God, I want to conclude this prayer saying thank you. Thank you that you are always there and that you provide more for us than we even knew to ask for ourselves. Jesus, it's in your holy, your powerful, your wonderful name we pray. Amen. As we conclude our time in worship together, I want to open up some opportunities for you to pray at the altars. Our communion stations are open for anyone who would like to go up and take self-guided communion. And then we're going to enter into a time of worship together. Our elders and myself will be available afterwards if you have some initial thoughts you'd like to share. But before you go, let us join back together in a spirit of unity and hopefully passionate worship, knowing that God is doing some amazing things. Would you respond as you're able?